So thank you, David. Thank you, David, for handing over the mic to Studio Ondangwa. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and others. We have to be very, very, very accommodative. You know, there are those who consider themselves non-binary. You know, they consider themselves non-binary. They're neither that. Just in their mind, because physically they are binary, but you know, just in their mind. So we have to be very inclusive. So good morning to you, everyone. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and others. So it's a Friday morning, the 9th of January. The year is taking pace already. It's taking pace already. So slowly by slowly, you just find yourself, how did I get here? I'm already in June. It's already December. So the year is starting to take up pace already. And if you're still home, please, you know, it's a time. It's becoming now. It's almost a time now we get, no, let's get to work. Let's start. We have a country. I always say this. We have a country to build. We have a country to develop. So good morning, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave, the land that we all love, the land that we all want to do well, you know. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. So thanks for choosing Eagle FM at this point in time, you know, to be in your company. So definitely you haven't made a wrong choice. And we love to do this, you know, we love to do this. So, and it's our pleasure really to keep you company. Not just keeping you company, but also to bring you, conversation that really matters, that deals with bread and butter issues, things that we actually, you know, going through on a daily basis. So welcome. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business, in economics, in finance, in politics as well. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, you know, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear here. We keep it clear, and sometimes, you know, with some fun and always curious, asking the questions that matter and give you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpick what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get at the heart of the stories. So welcome. If you're just joining us, welcome. It is Friday. I know Friday for many people have a different vibe. You know, welcome. And as usual, we're looking at, we start with our segment on Disney in Africa. So welcome to this segment of on this day in Africa. So today, let's begin in the year 2005. That's in Sudan. On this day, a major peace deal was signed between the Sudanese government and the main rebel group in the south, the SPLM/A. I don't know what A stand for. So, and this was no small. It was no small agreement, really. It's officially, because it was not a small, it wasn't something small, because it's officially ended the second Sudanese civil war, a brutal conflict that had raged for over 20 years. So the deal gave Southern Sudan the right to govern itself, and most importantly. Set up a future vote for independence. That vote eventually happen in 2011, leading to the birth of the world's newest nation, South Sudan. So this was a truly historic moment for peace. And we don't have much, you know, much of significant event today, but let's turn the clock back a bit further to 1991, you know, and head south to South Africa. Now, on this day, you know, finally a crack appeared in the war of apartheid. A crack appeared in the war of apartheid. For the first time, black children were officially allowed to attend schools that had previously been for the white student only. So, duckies, now you can get into the white schools, okay? You know, finally that happened, yeah, and then this was a massive step forward. In the fight against the racist apartheid system. So it was a powerful, powerful sign that the country was changing, moving towards radical or racial integration and equality. A few years before apartheid was finally brought to an end. So, yeah, as I said, you know, we don't have much historical event or significant event that happened on this day. And that is your journey through history for today on this day in Africa. So, and welcome. Good morning and welcome wherever you are listening us from. So whether now you're listening us through the frequency, through the radio, through the app, and make sure that you download that app, you know, so that wherever you find yourself, you are connected. You are with Eagle FM wherever you are in and outside the country. So make sure that you download that. Okay. From Google, put Google Play and from the app, and the app store. All right. So today is Friday the 19th. And, what is our thought for the day today? What is our thought for the day? So only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. Only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. I think this was, it's a quote commonly attributed to someone called T.S. Eliot. And it expresses a powerful idea about risk. It's about risk, it's about limits, it's about personal discovery. So it suggests that to truly know your potential and how far you can go in life, you must be willing to push beyond familiar boundaries and take risk, even if that means going further than seems safe or comfortable. So you cannot discover your real limits by staying in your comfort zone or playing it safe, as they say. So only by pushing towards those limits do you find out what you are truly capable of. So in everyday language, we say, you know, it's like saying, if you never try, you will never know what is possible. So only those willing to step out of their comfort zone and risk failure in some cases will discover their true strength and potential. So, yeah, the only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out. Only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. So I hope that in the choices and decision that you make today, you know, you're pushing yourself to those limits so that you can find out what what truly you are capable of. So that's our thought for the day. And good morning and welcome if you're just joining us this moment. So what you can expect today, finally, not finally, shouldn't say finally. The village is back. You were hearing from David earlier on, you know, telling you, I mean, going through some of the headlines that we have in the villager. So our first edition, this year. So we're going to look at the headlines. One of the headlines of today's edition of the villager. So Crane remain tight-lipped on Starlink futures in Namibia. So we're going to look at that. We're going to go deeper into that. And there's a story that I wanted to cover yesterday, but we couldn't have a time. So we're going to look into that as well. It has to do with Botswana's golden passport. It's a very interesting, initiatives that actually Botswana is actually taking. And I want us to see what lesson for, because Namibia is considering it as well, the golden passport. So Namibia is also considering it. So we're going to look at that and see what lesson for Namibia in that initiative. So yeah, and of course, as I always said, your participation will also be part. It's part of this, of the show. So without you, we don't have the show. So, all right. So make sure that you make yourself comfortable. You know, take still cold. I mean, still in the morning. Take some coffee or tea or anything that is soft. All right. Inoningon korako cafe. Okay. So, and make yourself comfortable and unpack this with me. So we will be back in a few seconds.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
And your favorite e-newspaper is back. And if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, well, you know where to get it. Get yourself a free copy. It's a new year, man. It's a new year. Don't nokarako ni mesiga we zako koni mesiga se blif, you know? So get yourself a free copy. It is free, a free copy of The Villager. You know, by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. And The Village is published every Monday and Wednesday and Friday. So please make sure that you get a free copy to get all this latest business and economic news in the country and outside the country. So make sure that you do that. All right. So welcome. I'm your host, Mike Oshaveni. And today we're diving into a story. This is a story that I think got a lot of us asking questions. Okay. So if you haven't seen the story yet, it's because probably you haven't subscribed. All right. Make sure that you subscribe to The Villager. So, I mean, this, you have heard it before. You have heard this from last year, the potential arrival of Starlink, the internet service provider by Elon Musk SpaceX, into Namibia. All right. Now, the Communication Regulatory Authority of Namibia, CREN, is in the spotlight for their role in making the decision. Now, so why this is such a big deal? So, well, let's break it down. Let's unpack the facts and get into the heart of the matter. So, and as I said, this is one of our headline story in the Villager in the first edition of 2026. Make sure that you know you get that copy. It is a story by HD. So, you know what? Think about this. It feels like we all standing outside a brand new shop, okay, peering through the windows and through the glasses at something we desperately want. You know, the shop is Starlink. You know, the shop is Starlink. The satellite internet service from, as I said, from Elon Musk, SpaceX. So that's the shop that promises the beam fast, reliable web to every corner of our beautiful country. Okay. Now, imagine a farmer, you know, a farmer in Ochodonjupa running a whole operation online. Or maybe a learner in a remote village somewhere in Zambezi, accessing the same resources as a student in Windhoek. So that is the promise of this Starlink. And now, as we're peering through the window, waiting for the shop to open, the person holding the key to this shop seemingly is in no hurry to unlock the door. He's in no hurry to unlock the door. It's our Communication Regulatory Authority, CREN. So this morning, as usual, we're not just going to read, as we said, we don't just read the headlines. We are going to roll up, you know, when you're rolling up your sleeves, we're going to roll up our sleeves and figure out what is this standoff is really all about. Okay. What is this is all about? What CREN silence mean for you and for me? And what the real cost of waiting is for our nation's future. So that's what we're going to look at. All right. So now let's start with what we know. Okay. Let's start with what we know, so far. Late last year, CREN did something that on a superficial level, seems like a great idea. Okay. They asked the public what we thought about Starlink coming to Namibia. They open a 9-day window for people to send in their opinion by email or even a good old fashioned handwritten letters. Okay. You can do that. Good old fashioned. Now, the response, it was a landslide. It was a landslide. Well, one can say. Now, they received over 1,180 submissions. So now, get this. So an overwhelming 90-80% of them were in favor of bringing Starlink here. 98%. So in a country where we often debate everything, that is a close to a consensus as you can get, really. So that I definitely it's as close to a consensus. All right. Now people are hungry for, well, that tells you that people really are hungry for better. They're hungry for better. more affordable internet. That's what it says. That's what it tells you. That survey, that's what it tells you. It's not a luxury anymore. You know, when we're talking about internet is not a luxury anymore. It is a tool. Okay. It is a tool for education. It's a tool for business, you know.
Yeah, we'll connect back to you, especially in a short period of time. And you are listening to Unpacking the Day. And we expand the conversation further while we're waiting for the big mic to come back and also giving you what is happening, especially when it's coming to Unpacking the Day. So, when it's coming to issues of economic affairs, there is an ongoing conversation. There's an ongoing conversation, especially when it's coming to the military drill, especially the naval military drill, which is happening in the ocean of South Africa, to say BRICS country. While the United States is doing it on the other side, the BRICS here exercising. It's called the military exercise, where you are coming together with your friends and also show your weapons. You are showing, your new technology, and also showing new mechanisms on how to deal with conflicts within the sea. Because the aim of naval exercise and the aim of naval exercise is to see what mechanism we can use to protect the ocean and its resources, because you must be able to be very clear to say every country which has a navy, one of its job is to protect the sea, protect its resources, particularly from external invaders. Issues of pirates, they are still continuing. Pirates are not only happening it's not only what you read in comic books. It's not only what you see in movies. It's not only the history book of other time. We also have modern pirates. That's why that is what is currently happening. To say at the beginning of the year, South Africa, China, they are waiting for warships from Iran and also Russia just to come and do naval exercise. And also to see what message is it sending. What message is it sending to the US? Because it's global power players who are positioning themselves. Because in this world, you don't only need to have a strong economy. You also need to have a strong army to defend it. I remember watching, last year ad hoc committee of South Africa, especially this one regarding the capturing of judicial system and infiltration of security system of South Africa. One of the things that our former Minister of Police, Boikisele, have said is that, when these South African business people enter this business, especially the taxi business, it's not to be lucrative, because if you own taxi business, you must also be very strong, because there's a lot of tax violence in South Africa. One of the questions that you ask is that, do you have the stick to protect the business? And when they are asking that in Sikosa or Sizulu, when they're saying, do you have the stick to protect the business of the taxi business, they mean the gun. That's why, even in terms of the economy, you also need to ask that question to say, do you have the stick to protect your natural resources? Do you have the guns? Do you have the military power? Even not only about military power, even the strong security system that can be able also to protect your resources. If you have a diamond industry, do you have advanced security to protect your natural resources? Like what happened to Namdi. That's why issues of security and the economy, they go hand in hand. When you speak about the economic discussion, don't exclude physical security guards. Don't exclude IT expert who can protect your firewall. Do not exclude those people. That is why in this modern world, when you speak about those issues of economic development, security must be a priority. Because if you have resources and you are boasting about having resources, but you don't have a strong policing system, those who have advanced security system and ill-motivated and come and take your resources. If you have resources and you don't have strong cybersecurity, people come and steal your data. And we are yet to see the readiness of our either it's commercial, whether it's central bank, either it's public sector, especially when it comes to protection of resources, particularly when you speak about cyber security incident in 2026. Let's hope we come up with different and better models. And it's the beginning of the year. It's the beginning of the year. It's the beginning of the year, and when it's the beginning of the year, it's also the beginning of financial decisions. And when we are speaking about financial decision, I'm not only speaking about you, I'm speaking about ourselves. Everybody's included to say, if I want policymakers, with public policymakers, policy analysts, policy advisors in terms of finance to handle Namibian economic properly, can I also start with myself? Can I also start with myself? Because a bit of contradictory to say, no, our country is just in debt. People are not managing resources. But they are also running away with resources of family contribution at the family level. Speaking about the country is in debt, but you are also in debt as a human being. That's why, let us also not just look at outward, but if you want the country to be in order, we must put our families in order first. If you want the country in order, we must put ourselves in order first. If you want the country to be in order, we must deal with our constituency to be in order. Because this year, we are not going to deal with victim mentality. We are also going to look at, issues that has to do with self-assessment before we move forward. So, we're into a short commercial break. Then we'll be connected to Shoveri, especially when it comes to unpacking the day.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ikurane ngendo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite okoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nukumona oi jamoili nawa ninge pata fanoa na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM.
Yes, Mike.
All right. This is what exactly we're talking about. We're talking about the internet reliability and all that is exactly what we're talking about here, especially when it comes to the story that we are actually unpacking. And it just happened in my face. It just happened in my face. Yeah, so, yeah, welcome back. So our time is about 48 minutes past the hour of 8. So we actually, as I'm speaking to you, we actually come up with a different, alternative to be able to speak to you to continue. It might sound a little bit different because I'm speaking now, in a different way. But look, okay, they said things happen. And it did happen. So we had a little bit of a hiccups, and it has to do with, internet and, new tech, and all that. So, all right. So we were talking about, we're unpacking the story in today's edition of The Villages. If you're just joining us this morning, it's our first edition for 2026. So make sure that you subscribe. So make sure that you subscribe to get a free copy of The Villager. So the story is about, the the Starlink, you know, the Starlink, and where our media houses have actually asked questions, were posed questions to CREN, and we have gone through some of the of those questions and talk about it. So, but what we are looking at is that one of the things that we, you know, one of the issue, because I don't know where did I stop now. One of the, we're talking about the public consultation as one of the part of the of this whole puzzle. So, but we also, there's also another issue. It's not, that was not the only one, but we also look at, I was talking about that there's an elephant in the room. One of the elephant room is the, is that it's our law, you know, one of the elephants in the room is our law. Starlink, the main roadblock for Starlink coming to Namibia and to South Africa, for that matter, is our law, you know, our local, ownership policy. Now, so what it means, I was saying that in a simple terms, you know, if that didn't come out because there was a cutoff. So in a simple terms, Namibia law, generally say that a foreign telecommunication company, must have at least a 30%, local ownership. Now, and as I was saying that the whole idea of this law is really noble. Okay. Because what we wanted, the law was actually born from a desire, to ensure that, Namibians have a real stake in our own economy. We have a real stake in our own economy, that the profit, from our country don't just flow out, you know, out to foreign companies or to foreign, billionaires, and that we build our own skills and capacity. And it's a policy. And this policy is actually rooted in empowering our people. So, but I was saying that the world has moved on. You know, the world has moved on. We are now in a global digital economy. Okay. And that it really moved fast, and this moved fast, and we need, you know, we need to keep up with that. So when we look at our rules now, one can ask a question, can a rule written now for a previous era effectively really regulate a technology really of this time? So, and that's a question now, as I said, that's the question our leader need to grapple with in the lawmakers. That need actually to look at it too seriously. So, yeah. And now, so the interesting things now about the law, and I mentioned that, you know, this is the problem within Namibia and South Africa. So now the really interesting things that's now about the law, it's actually what is happening in South Africa. Now, South Africa seemed to realize that the old way might not be the best way. So, and their new communication minister has actually suggested a new path. That's where we actually ended, that it suggested a new path. Now, he proposed that companies like Starlink, okay? Companies like Starlink could meet the local ownership, yeah, could meet the local ownership requirement not by selling shares, but through what he calls equity equivalent investment. Now, so, and in plain English, this means instead of giving away 30% of the company, you know, they could actually invest in equivalent, that was equity equivalent investment. They could actually invest in an equivalent amount in things like maybe building a digital infrastructure in an area where we don't have those infrastructure, maybe training a Namibian in technical skills, in tech skills, or funding local tech startups. Maybe you have some startups that in this sector that that this company can fund. So it is more flexible. So the South Africa are looking to be more flexible, a modern approach that still ensure that the country benefits, but without, you know, without scaring away the very investment that we actually need. So the massive questions for our Minister of ICT, Emma Chefilis, with Madam Chefilis, is whether Namibia will follow this new, more pragmatic, you know, this more pragmatic path. So that's the questions. That's the questions that we're looking at. Now, her decision is reportedly tied up with Crane's final announcement. And actually this puts us at the, at a crossroad. It put us at the crossroad. Do we stick rigidly to the old rule? You know, potentially missing out on a technological leap, because this is a technological update, you know, leap that could actually transform our nation. Should we miss out that? Should we stick to that rigid, that the old rule, which potentially would actually miss out, you know, on the technically advanced that could actually, you know, transform our nation. Or we adapt our policies. We can also adapt our policies like South Africans did. They're trying to do. They haven't done that yet. So we adapt our policies to attract world-class investment like this one, while still actually making an absolute sure Namibia gets its fair share. In that way, if we have to take the investment, the equity investment, I mean, the equity equivalent investment, so that would still actually, you know, make sure that we get Namibia get its share, get its fair share, you know? So yeah, that's a question that the Minister of Communication the Minister of ICT have to decide. With CREN. So, and when you look at this is not just about one company, okay? This is not just about Starlink. This is a signal to the entire world. For us now as Namibia, this is a signal to the entire world about what kind of country Namibia is in the 21st century. You remember the president said, we are open for business, you know, when he was in the state. So we are open for business. Are we open for business? Or are we closed for red tape, you know, because of these bureaucratic, you know, issues? So are we open for business? Yeah? Or are we closed for a red tape? So now, and this brings me to the final, when you read the article, you know, there are, you know, please do read the article. So this brings me to the final and perhaps the most telling piece of this puzzle. Now, the case of IShowSpeed, you know, the IShowSpeed. So for those of you who don't have teenagers in your house, you don't have the teenagers in the house, IShowSpeed is a 20-year-old internet superstars with over 120 million followers online. He is currently on a brief tour of Africa, and he is on his way to the land of the brave. So he's on his way to the land of the brave. So how does he do what he does? He uses Starlink. So he uses Starlink to broadcast his higher energy live stream to his massive global audience. So he's already used it in South Africa. He has already used that in Angola and also in Botswana. So now his team says he brings the equipment in legally as a paying customer. You know, as a paying customer, he's bringing, you know, this equipment. Now, this now Starlink equipment in the country, you know, as a paying customer. So, but here's where now it gets a little bit messy for us. For Namibia, this is where it really gets a little bit messy. Now, the Namibia Revenue Agency, NAMRA, has confirmed that they haven't received the proper temporary import papers for his streaming gear. Okay? So what are the equipment that he's gonna use? And more importantly, NAMRA made a crucial point, also made a crucial point where they said that even if the paperwork was in order, it does not override or replace other regulatory or statutory requirement. You know, in other words, just because you managed to bring the gear into the country doesn't mean you probably can legally turn it on and operate it here. So maybe they're not going to use it, you know. So that's what actually NAMRA also saying. Now, but this puts actually CREN and the ministry and the ICT ministry in an incredibly awkward position. You know, if you have to think of it, it's actually putting you know, the ministry in an incredibly awkward position and CREN. Do they stop now this world famous celebrity from using his equipment? Would they stop them? Potentially now you'll be creating an international incident and making Namibia look like, you know, how would you call that? A fun-free zone. Yeah. So other countries have been, you know, were exposed to this instant, you know, live streaming, but now Namibia look like we are fun-free frozen, you know? Huh? Yeah. So that's so now, do they turn now? Do they turn a blind eye? The other thing that the ministry and CREN can do is also to turn a blind eye and look like a regulatory that it doesn't even.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you?
Oh, guys, yeah, all right. Thank you, David. Guys, let me just say something that we are. We're really trying. We're trying to come to you, and we're experiencing some technical issues from our studios. So then we have to connect to Windhoek, and we can only connect through the line now. And yeah, so that's the challenge that we're having. So please bear with us if there's those breakup coming up now and then. So please, we just ask you to bear with us when it comes to that. All right. All right. So let's continue. Let's continue with unpacking the day. So where do we start again? Now let's just tie it, you know, let's tie all this thread together, you know. Maybe that's what are the key takeaway for us as Namibian, wherever you find yourself this morning. And as I said, we apologize for, you know, for the breakup now and then. Now, first, the process matter as much as the outcome. You know, CREN's handling of the public consultation has been at best questionable. You know, their refusal to answer a straightforward question erodes public trust. A regulator must be transparent, accountable, and accountable to people it serves. So silence is not a strategy. It's a statement of its own. So the silence is a statement of its own. And right now, it's not a good one. It's not a good one at all. So secondly, we are at a critical policy crossroad, I must say. So the Starlink debate has forced us to have a national conversation, I think. So it's really forced us to have a national conversation. So we have been putting that off. So for some reason, it's kind of like we are putting that off. So do our local, now maybe the question we need to look at is that do our local ownership laws for the telecom sectors still fit the digital age? Yeah? Does it still fit the digital age? So you also have to look that we don't have, up to now, we don't have the act, the Communication Act, or whatever the bill, we still have to have the bill that actually regulate, you know, communications, in Namibia. So maybe in the absence of this kind of, framework, that's how we find ourselves in these situations. So, and the equity equivalent, you know, that model South Africa is considering, that's actually a potential path forward, and that we should be debating that openly as well. Not deciding, it shouldn't be something that should be decided behind doors, but something that we should be debating, you know, and talking about openly. So, and I think, personally, I think that it's being innovative. It's really looking at different way how we can, you know, address issues of this nature, so that we don't miss out on something that would change. What is they call that? A game changer, you know? So, and finally, perhaps most importantly, indecision has a real cost. You know, if you don't make a decision in the end, that may cost you as well. So every single month we delay, Namibia are missing out. We are missing out. Our entrepreneurs are at the disadvantage, you know? Our entrepreneurs are at a disadvantage because they could be using this technology, Our students are falling behind. You know, we risk losing our competitive edge, you know, in the region. And as the ISO speed situation shows, hesitation can put us in an embarrassing situation on the world stage as well. So ultimately, this is not just about getting faster internet to download movies or movies quicker, or maybe streamline, you know, have a live stream of your football or something like that. It's not just about that. This is about our national development. This is about our national development. It's about the goal we set for ourselves in Vision 2030. This is where we want to be. So it's about empowering our small businesses, our small business owners in Katutura, you know, or in anywhere, you know, Shakati or in Rundu, in, you know, to compete, you know, globally. If we want our small businesses to compete, you know, this is, you know, the empowering tool that we need. It's about connecting a clinic. Say, for example, it's about, connecting a clinic in Maheke, in Okangwati, you know, to a specialist doctor. You know, you are in Maheke and you are connected to a specialist doctor hundreds of kilometers away. You know, that's what it means. So the decision on Starlink is a decision on what kind of digital future we want to build for Namibia. And let's hope our regulators and our leaders are listening to the incredible clear signal, as we have seen from the survey, a clear signal being sent by the public. Okay? So, and let's hope they make a choice, you know, they make a choice that is bold, that is forward-looking. That's also very important. That is bold, that is forward-looking, and I hope the ICT minister is listening, that she make those decisions, forward-looking decision, and that is truly, truly in the best interest of all Namibians. Okay? So, what are you saying? What is your take of this story, which we can find in today's edition of The Villager? Please. And as I said, make sure that you subscribe for a free copy of the digital copy of The Villager. So you're welcome to come through. What is your reaction? What's your take? What is your opinion? What is your contribution? And now the number that you have to call, because I'm connected to Wintuk, the number that you have to call is 083-288-401. So if you want to contribute, if you want to also have your say and have your opinion on this, do call at 083-288-401. 083-288-401. So that's the number you can call. All right, we're going to have a 2 minutes break quickly, and then so you can come through with the call. You can come through, and please do that. So you're most welcome to come through now. And the number is 083-288-401. So we're going to have a quick break, and we'll be back in a second.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katutura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katutura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. And so our time is about 16 minutes past the hour of 9. And so, Karen remained tight-lipped on Starlink's future in Namibia. So that's the first stories that we looked at in this morning. So what are your take? What is your contribution? And if you wanna come through, you don't have to use that the normal telephone number for Ondangwe Studio. So I'm connected to Windhoek. Well, as I'm speaking from Windhoek, and I am in Ondangwe. So so yeah, so you can call 083-288-401. 083-288-401. So if you would like to come through. And the funny thing is that I have to rely to my friend, to my colleagues in Windhoek, you know, to know that you're coming through, all right? So, and how does that kind of work if I'm actually on the line? Oh my goodness. Guys, how does that kind of work? I'm on the line. I'm on this line. Oh, is this a different line? All right. I'm not sure that's where I work. So I'm talking through the line, you know. Yeah. Okay. I don't think that's going to work actually, you know. Unless someone told me differently. All right. So, all right, as I said, we're looking at Starlink, and basically we were looking at some of the questions that were posed by our media house. All right. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I don't think there will be callers that will be able to come through. All right. Okay. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the situation today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno meko tete opoewe ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipinji konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 22 minutes past the hour of nine. Okay, let's move on. And in this segment, I want us to look at across the border at a study that should make every Namibian actually sit up and take notice. Unfortunately, you guys, you won't be able to come through. We are experiencing technical issues in the Ondangwe studio, so I'm connected to Wintik studio through the line. And the line, it's where you should be actually calling. It's unfortunately that won't be possible for you to come through. All right. So, but let's do this. Okay. Let's still go on. Let the show go on. All right. Now, our neighbors in Botswana, has launched something called a Golden Passport Program. Now, a foreign investor can now buy Botswana citizenship for $75,000. All right. That's about $1.4 million. $1.4 million. $75,000. Yes. It's about $1.4 million. Now, before you say, so what? Okay. That's their business. Now, let me tell you why this matters to us, okay? Now, because Botswana's story is, it's really our story. Botswana's story is really our story. They are diamond dependency, just like us, and we share it, you know, their economy struggle, you know, we feel that too, you know? So, we are going to unpack this golden passport scheme, what is really behind it, what are the risks, And probably looking at what lesson can Namibia actually learn from, okay? So, and it's a very interesting concept, and it's not only happening in Botswana anyway. It's also something that Namibia is considering to do. So, now this is very interesting. So now, let's start with the basic. Let's start from the very, you know, why is Botswana doing this? So now to understand for Botswana, you need to know what is happening in their economy. So what is happening in their economy? And my friends, it is not pretty actually. Okay. Botswana is not doing too well. I must say. And we are heading in the same direction somehow. You know, Botswana has always been Africa's diamond darling, you know? They have for years they have been, you know, the Africa's diamonds, darling, you know? And they are, you know, they are the world's leading producer of diamond by value, you know, by value. For years, for decades, diamond have been their golden goose, as they said. They've been their golden goose. But about a third of their entire economy depend on those, you know, on those shiny stones. Now, but here's the problem. That golden goose, it has stopped laying golden eggs. So it has stopped laying golden eggs. Okay? Now the global diamond market collapsed in the past 2 years. So in the past 2 years, this golden diamond market has collapsed. And when I say collapse, I mean it. I really mean it. I'm in for Botswana. And the Botswana Foreign Exchange Reserve dropped from $4.7 billion in early 2024 to just $2.1 billion by mid-2025. That's actually a 55% drop in 18 months. So that's a huge drop. Okay, let me put it in this term. Okay? Let me put it in this term. Maybe we can understand it better. So, now, imagine you had, you have $100,000 in your saving account. Okay? $100,000 in your saving account. Then you wake up one morning and there's only 45,000 left. Only 45,000 left. That's what happened to Botswana's national saving. So that's exactly what happened to Botswana's national saving. So their economy contracted by 3% in 2024. It's projected to shrink by almost another 1% this year. Now, the government is running a budget deficit of over 10% of GDP. Now, 10%, you know, that's like spending 11,000, you know, that's like spending 11,000 pula when you only earn 10,000. So that's what it means. Okay? So now, you might ask, what caused this diamond disaster? What caused this diamond disaster? Two things, actually. Something that we discussed here as well. Two things. One is the first one is the lab-grown diamonds. So the lab-grown diamond, the synthetic diamond. Now, technology has made it possible now to create diamonds in factories. So they look the same. Well, I haven't seen it. So that's what they say. So I mustn't say it with authority as I've seen it. So what they say that they look the same, cost less, but this one cost less. And when you're looking at the young people now, young consumers, they don't care. They don't care if the diamond came from a mine or it's made by a machine. They don't care. And that has become a really, really problem for the original diamonds. So the second is a global economic slowdown. You know, when people are worried about paying rent and buying food, they are not shopping for diamond engagement ring. Sorry for that. So now, I was saying the second is, as I said, the global economic slowdown. And so we see that, you know, when economic really get into the slum, you know, whenever you go and buy something, people are not looking anymore on diamond engagement rings. They're looking for food. They're looking to pay for their rent. They're looking to buy food. Eh? So these luxury things become secondary, not even something that you think about anyway. So that was one of the, you know, the reason why, what caused this diamond disaster, especially in Botswana. Now, The Botswana main diamond company, Debswana, slashed production by 40%, by 40% in 2025. They closed mines. They laid off workers. So now, President Duko, President Boko, Duma Boko. So, of course, he inherited this crisis when he took office. So, and he's desperately now looking for solutions. So what is now, that is now where the golden passport, coming in. All right. I was just giving you a little bit of background of a bit of Botswana. Now, so what is exactly is this golden passport program? Okay. What is this really all about? It's very simple. You are a foreign investor and you want Botswana citizenship. You pay the government between 75,000 and 90,000 US dollars. After a background check, and paperwork, you become a Botswana. You become a Botswana citizen. That is that simple. So it's actually that simple. And you get your passport. You can live there, work there, your children become citizen too. That's the golden passport. And here's another thing, okay? Botswana now allow dual citizenship. You keep your original passport, wherever you come from, and you add a Botswana one. So that's also one thing that Botswana didn't allow before, but, they allow that now. Now, you may ask, who want this? Yeah, you probably would ask, who actually would want this? Who would want this, actually? The program opened for pre-registration just recently. In the first week alone, they received 464 expression of interest from 77 countries. So there are people who actually want to become Botswana citizenship. Okay? Now, who are the top applicants who want to become Botswanas? So the top applicants are Indians. So they are Indians. Indians want to become, So the top are Indians, are Americans, South Africans, Pakistanis. There's also one I'm missing, African. Nigerian, of course. Nigerian has to be there. So Nigerian and Zimbabwean, of course, So, yeah, South African from our SADC, we have South African, the top, applicants in SADC is South African, Zimbabwean. So, and then in Africa, we add Nigerians. So outside that, we have Indians, Americans, and Pakistanis. Now, so let's think about why these people want to be Botswana citizenship. Why probably they want to be, of course, for Indian and Pakistanis, it might be about easier travel, You never know. It's about easier travel. A Botswana passport give you a visa-free access to many countries. It's also political insurance. If things go wrong at home, if you are in Pakistan and things are not actually going right for you, you are a citizen of Botswana. So you go to Botswana. Eh? So you have a backup. You always have a backup. I think this is something I think I would see lots and lots of it. It will gain momentum. It will definitely gain momentum. Yeah. So it could be also for political insurance, as I said. You have a backup if things are not, happy in your country, are not going well in your country. So, and you have money. So why not? When you look at some of those. Now, for Zimbabwe, it's quite obvious. Political and economic instability, Botswana passport is a stability. That would be a stability for you. Mm-hmm. So I would understand it for the Botswanas. I mean, for the Zimbabweans, definitely. For Americans, Well, for the Americans, some might want business access to African market. You know? You are a Botswanans. Others might also think, others may be, you know, hedging their bets in an uncertain political climate. You understand? So, as I said, business access to African market for Americans, you know, you are a Botswana, you can, you know, there won't be many, you won't go through many, you know, bureaucratic red tape like, you know, like someone who is an American, you're a Botswana. So, and for South African, Nigerian, of course, as I think, for them, I think these are business opportunities. For South African, Nigerians are business opportunities, regional mobility, you know, and also, you never know, for other, maybe Nigerian security. So, but the thing is this, now the program is not unique. It's not something unique. Egypt has won. You know, Egypt has gone. So do Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone, Sao Tome Principe, Sao Tome and Principe. Even Mauritius, Kenya, Uganda. Yes. Yes, Namibia is also exploring similar schemes. We are exploring also these schemes as well. So it's not something that is really, really unique now to Botswana only. So, but the thing is that Botswana is the cheapest in Africa. So it's the cheapest in Africa, and Egypt charges up to $250,000. That's US dollars. They charge $250,000. Imagine Botswana is only about 75,000. Egypt is 250,000. So what Botswana start, we are starting at, Botswana is actually starting at 75,000. So yeah, you can see that. Now this whole thing is because the president, President Boko says this program will secure Botswana's will secure Botswana's long-term financial future. Well, when I hear that, you know, it is something that we need to examine that. I think we need to examine that claim, you know, because definitely there are a lot of challenges from other countries that actually have done the same thing. So yeah, the president said this program, it's a way of diversifying your economy. So, but he said it would secure Botswana's long-term financial future. Now, the government hopes, and this is a hope, this is actually operating on hope. The government hopes to attract investors. Now, this is what they're hoping. They're hoping to attract investors in housing, in tourism, in mining, in renewable energy, and also in financial services. That's what they're hoping for. So they are not just selling passport, you know, they are not just selling passport, they are selling investment opportunities, if that makes sense. So they are selling the passport, hoping for investment, you know, opportunity, hoping that this investor, the people that they attract, you know, will actually invest in housing, they will invest in tourism, they will invest in mining, they will invest in renewable energies and financial services. So that's what they're hoping for, and that they are not just selling passport, they are selling investment opportunity. Now, I want you to think about it like this, okay? You are a wealthy Indian, okay? You are a wealthy Indian, Indian businessman, okay? I'm now thinking from the side of maybe President Boko. So you pay $90,000 for citizenship, but you also invest in a tourism lodge in Okavango Delta, all right? Or a solar energy project. So, or a diamond or a processing facility. So now, it's like the passport is the door opener. This is now the thinking, that the passport is the door opener and the real money comes from those investments. This is just a door opener and the real money would then come from those investments. Now Botswana is betting that this will diversify their economy. Less dependency on diamond, you know, and more sectors contributing now to the GDP. So there's a logic here, okay? There's some logic, okay? Tourism in Botswana is a world class. You know, their wildlife and natural beauty rival Namibia's, you know? Really, it does. And renewable energy has a huge potential. So the Kalahari sun could actually power solar farms and things like that. And here is where we really need to look at this critically and really ask hard questions. Yeah? We need to look at this critically. So, now, my first question really, looking at this, will this actually bring meaningful investment? Now, $75,000 sounds like a lot. I mean, to me, an ordinary person, that sounds like a lot. But for national development, think of that. For national development, that's a pocket change. Definitely. That's a pocket change. If 1,000 people, let's say for example, let's look at this. If 1,000 people buy citizenship, that is $75 million. Well, $75 million. Now, for context, so Botswana's annual budget is over $5 billion. Now, yes, some investor will bring additional capital, of course, like that as we looked at, but many won't. How do you know that? How do you guarantee that? Maybe they just want the passport. They just want the passport. There will be those who bring in additional capital, but you might have many who don't bring in any further capital. They just want a passport. Now, the second question is, what sectors will actually benefit? You know, when you have to think of, the government talks about, now, they're talking about housing, they're talking about tourism, they're talking about mining, renewable energy, but will foreigner investors actually enter these sectors? How do you guarantee that this now foreign investors actually enter these sectors? Or will they buy property or sit on it? They could be, you know, or will they buy property and sit on it and rarely visit? They could be. This happened in Namibia as well, where you have properties that are here, where you don't have them here. To generate then what you want. So you understand. So we have seen this, in other countries. Golden passport holders often treat citizenship as an insurance, not an opportunity, as an insurance. That's the difference there. So there will be some very minimal, very, very in a small number. But many, many golden passport holders, they often treat this citizenship as an insurance. So, and the third question may be, can Botswana now handle, I'm seeing, could be a rabbit, diversification, you know, diversifying an economy isn't just about attracting money. I think, you know, I'm thinking of our countries as well. It's not just about attracting money. We do that. You need infrastructure. You need skilled workers. You need, you know, regulatory framework, you know, business friendly policies. you need all this. Botswana has good governance. They have a good governance by the African standard. They do. But can they process hundreds of new businesses? Yeah? Can they integrate foreign investor into a local community? And actually, now, and I want to look at, because when you look at that, I want us to talk about the dangers. You know, I want us to talk about the danger, because friends, this is where things actually get a little bit murky. Okay? The Golden Passport Program have a dark side. It does have a dark side. And let me walk you through the concerns, you know? So let me walk you through the concern. All right, we will do that quickly after, let's have a quick commercial break, and then we will be back. All right, we're going to have a quick commercial, and then we'll be back.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend.
All right. Welcome back. Our time is about 48 minutes past the hour of 9. And at 10 o'clock, we will be handing over to Tate Naluvanda. And today, I think it's kind of coming to you from Dangwa Studio. Unfortunately, as we said, we're experiencing, you know, some technical issues here in our studio today. So it will be definitely the same way that I'm doing. So we will be coming to you through the Windhoek studio, but over the line. So that's basically what we are doing right now. And hopefully, maybe by then we might have sorted out some of these issues. All right. So now when we're looking at the Golden Passport Program for Botswana, I said that the Golden Passport Program have also dark side when you're looking at where this has actually been applied or done. So, and I would like to walk with you to walk you through some of the concern, you know. Now, one of the risk, number one risk, you know, risk one, risk number one, it's money laundering. Okay. Now, $75,000. That is not much for a criminal trying to hide his dirty money. You understand? $75,000 that you need to pay to get your citizenship, to get your Botswana citizenship, that's not a lot of money if someone really finds this as an opportunity to hide their dirty money. You know, drug traffickers, corrupt officials, fraudsters, you know, they all need ways to launder, you know, to launder cash and gain mobility. Now, citizen by investment program, you know, can actually become, how would I say this, a washing machine for dirty for dirty money if due diligence is weak. If the due diligence is weak, this can become a washing machine for dirty money. Now, Botswana says they will conduct a thorough background checks, but how thorough? First, the other thing, do they have the resources? Do you actually have the resources to do those background checks, thorough background checks? The other thing, do you have the expertise? Some of these are international criminals, you know, international traffickers, you know, they, do you have the expert? So the international connection also to verify every applicant source, eh? The, every applicant source of wealth, do you have that connection as well? You know, how good is your connection to be able to verify everyone's, you know, that question you asked, where the source of income, source of wealth. Do you have, you know, the international connection to be able to do that? So, small country often actually struggle with this, and they lack the investigative capacity, capacity of larger nations, other larger nations who actually do this have. And this is something that we, as we said, we are also considering this scheme, this program, maybe something that we need to worry about. So the other risk is the national security threat. Now, who is really applying? Who is really applying? Are the security risk among the applicants? Terrorists, for example, maybe you could have actually terrorists who are actually running away. You know, you could have terrorists, you could have spies, you could have, you know, organized crime figures. Yeah? Now, so the Financial Act Task Force, the global body fighting financial crimes, has raised concern about investment citizens program. They have actually, you know, raised concern about these programs. So they said they create vulnerabilities. They create vulnerabilities. Imagine this scenario, okay? A foreign intelligence service. Yeah? Foreign intelligence servants want agents operating in Southern Africa. So now they want agents actually operating in Southern Africa, and they buy Botswana's passport. Now, those agents have legitimate African citizenship. They can travel freely. They can travel freely to Namibia. They can travel freely to South Africa. They can travel to, you understand? This foreign intelligence could be, you know, could be American, could be whatever, you know. So they can travel, as I said, they can travel then freely and open business, integrate into society. Far-fetched? Not really. I don't think that's actually far-fetched. Several countries have discovered that citizenship programs were exploited by intelligence agencies. So that is something that we, if we are considering, that we need also to really take into consideration very seriously. And then we have risk number three. I think, okay, the social tension, okay, the social tension. Now, I think here's something nobody really talks about enough. Now, how do regular Botswana now citizen, that's regular Botswana citizen, feel about this? How do they feel about it? Now, you are a Botswana, okay? You can't afford a house. Unemployment is 25%. I think it's true. Yeah, it's 25% in Botswana. Youth unemployment is 34%. So you struggle every day. Then you see a wealthy foreign buying citizenship. Maybe they buy prime land. Let's say, for example, they buy citizenship now. They are citizen now. They buy prime land. Maybe they get business opportunity you can't yourself actually access. Now, how do you feel? So how would you feel, actually? I think this can really breed, that can really breed resentment. It can breed resentment. It can create, you know, kind of like you have two-tier society, you know, the two-tier society, citizen by, you know, by birth. You have then citizen by birth versus citizen by purchase. You know, you have citizen by birth and then you have citizen by purchase, you know, who actually who bought citizenship. So you have those two-tier society. Eh? So we have seen this in the Caribbean. I think that happened in the Caribbean, in Cyprus as well. what other countries? In Malta. So local communities sometimes resent golden passport holders. You know, they resent the golden passport holders. So, yeah, and that definitely would cause that kind of tensions in a country. Yeah. So, but the other thing is also I think another risk is about reputation. You can actually damage your own reputation. And Botswana has always prided itself on a good governance. And as we know them, they always pride themselves on a good governance, transparency, rule of law. Yeah. But Golden Passport Program, can damage a country reputation. If abuses occur, let's say for example, if a criminal slips through and the whole country get tainted, you know, and this is actually happening in Cyprus. It's that there's an example of that happening in Cyprus. Their program became associated with money laundering, and the European Union have to come in. The European Union pressured them to shut it down, you know. So Botswana, risk a similar, you know, they could risk a similar reputation damage if things go wrong, you know. Now, I'm not saying this risk will definitely materialize. I'm not saying that. But, you know, well, I'm bringing this when I looked up where this actually program, you know, where does this program also, you know, happen, where it's actually being, you know, practiced. And what are the challenges? Those are some of the things that, you know, it's just for us to be very, because we are considering it, for us to be aware of. So they are real, you know, and Botswana needs to manage them carefully. So, yeah, so now, I think there is a philosophical question here. I think this is a philosophical question. Should citizenship actually be solved? I think that's a question I would have liked us to discuss. Unfortunately not, you know. Traditionally, citizenship is about belonging, you know. It's about shared history. It's about values. It's about identity. You are born in it. Eh? And you earn it through years of residency and integration, like some of the people who are not born here. But a golden passport turns citizenship into a commodity. Eh? It is a transactional. You pay, you get it, you know? So you pay, you get it. So some people argue that there's nothing wrong with this. So they say citizenship is just a legal status. So if selling it helps a country develop, why not? So why not? And I say, well, it's a cheaper. It actually cheapens the, if there's such a word, yeah, it cheapens the very idea of nationhood. It creates a citizen with no real connection to the country, no loyalty, no investment in the community. So, and think about it from Namibia perspective. Would you want, you know, someone to become a Namibian just by paying money? Or should they live here, learn our language, understand our history, contribute to our society? Well, there's no easy answers, but, well, it's worth reflecting on it. So, and let's bring us to 10 o'clock. Let's bring us to 10 o'clock, and that's we come to the end of our unpacking the day. And I would definitely leave you in the hands of Tate Naluvanda, who is coming up with Kusa Mosha. So this is where we say goodbye for this week. Let's do this again next week, at the same time, at the same place, on the same station here on Eagle FM. So from me, my Koshaveli, say goodbye and have a great weekend. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow at 11 to 1 o'clock on Mind Matters. For me, goodbye for now. So, Tate Naluvanda will join you in shortly.